The specialists are back, and we are recapping episode number 6 of The Traitors season 2. Dan Gieseling could not pull it off. It did not work out. And we were having a debate last week over whether or not he should put Phaedra's name out there or Parvati's
name out there. No, that was not the debate whether he should. It was what we think he's going to do.
Well, you thought he was going to do Phaedra, correct?
I thought I was going to do Phaedra. You said you thought he was going to go after Parvati because Parvati makes way more sense. Like, her suspicion level is so much higher than Phaedra's. So to just call out Phaedra randomly, like, you're not going to be able to rally the votes. And we had some comments saying we didn't know what we were talking about. Phaedra's too insulated, blah, blah, blah. What I was trying to say the whole time, and I made this point very clear, is that the story that we were being told, we had confessionals early on that said Dan wants to work with Parv to the end and that at some point he will turn on Phaedra. We had been left the breadcrumbs as viewers for this payoff where he was going to go after Phaedra. Even though it wasn't the smartest thing to do or best for his game, we were being led to this outcome. And I correctly predicted it. And yeah, anyone who was calling us dumb or stupid, maybe you were just talking about Phil, because I completely predicted it correctly. So yeah, there you go, Phil.
I do like that you defend yourself from comments, and that's good. We need to do that because people were saying we really didn't know what we were talking about. And we certainly weren't specialists. And you called that right. But I think what I said made sense as well, which was Parvati was the right answer, though,
yes,
in this situation. He should have gone with Parvati. You correct that. He would ultimately go with Phaedra, but he shouldn't have gone with Phaedra. Phaedra was a bad play where it was just simp. It was too hard for him.
He didn't convince one person. Like, it's not one person wasn't like, huh, you know what? He kind of has a point. And then now everyone's like, huh, I bet Dan was just trying to throw Phaedra under the bus if he survived. And that if we had voted Phaedra, we'd all probably be right. Poor Phaedra, man, like, her game is now just completely blown up for like no reason. She defended herself so incredibly well, just like so poised, so quick, like just well done on her. She's been great.
Yeah, I don't think that her game really blew up because everybody had such little respect for Dan's opinions at this point. And then the fact that he was a traitor, Phaedra can easily walk out there and be like, what an idiot, he's trying to throw me out there because nobody would suspect me. But he's a traitor, so what does it matter anyway?
Yeah, I don't know. I think some of the smarter players are going to look into why did Dan choose Phaedra, and we already got that confessional from Trishelle saying, no one's really, you know, everyone's celebrating that we got Dan out, but is anyone paying attention to what his, like, finishing move, what were his last words in this game as when he was still a traitor, and he was trying to get blood on his hands, basically get the kill. If Phaedra gets killed and he's the one that spearheaded it and was correct, it gets the heat off him. So I think people will wisen up to it.
Yeah, perhaps. I think what makes it more difficult for this group, though, is that Peter is about to get recruited. Because now with Peter getting recruited, he was kind of thinking for a lot of these people. I'm not saying everybody in his alliance is bad at the game. I'm sure some of them are very good and were being played up how good Peter is because he was about to get recruited. But at the same time, that's going to add an interesting wrinkle. And I do like the thought process here from Parvati and Phaedra. I also like that they were given an option, and we can get into that later, of you can either kill or you can recruit. You got the option to do one or the other. So it wasn't like they were forcing the hand here. But well,
is it really a choice, though?
No,
because you technically are killing, though. Because look, right now, tell me how many people are left in the game. I don't know the exact
12, I believe.
12. Okay. And you had two traitors and 10 faithful.
Mm-hmm.
By doing this move, there's 9 faithful. So you are eliminating a faithful by doing this.
And you're actually giving yourself more of a chance.
And you're giving yourself, yes. Yeah. And then you're getting another player, and that player is the one who's been going against you. So now there won't be this huge movement coming after you. So it is not really a choice. If you kill someone there, then let's say they kill Peter, then it's 2 against 9. And then both of their names are so hot. And then you can literally use Peter now as like the guy who rallies the troops to take the heat off of you. Mm-hmm. So I like the move to go for Peter. I don't think there's really another option, because you either have to kill Peter tonight or recruit him. Like, that's the only thing you can really do.
Absolutely. Now, the only way that this doesn't work out for them is if Peter says no. And if Peter says no, he could make the decision to say no, go back to everybody, say that he was recruited. Now, we saw Christian do this last year and it backfired on him, but Christian was also a traitor. He could maybe not even mention anything, but be like, guys, Parvati is the next answer. And we're going to vote Parvati out the next time because nobody got murdered. Now let's go get rid of Parvati. They get rid of Parvati. And now they've gotten rid of two of the traitors and Pete's looking really good. So Pete could go.
And then if they get Parv, then Phaedra will be like, you now can recruit. And then she'll get somebody. The show has to keep going, or else, because then after you get Parv, you're like, yeah, let's just check if Phaedra's a traitor. Dan was what he was doing with that, and then the show's over in episode 8.
But what are they? So you think? So pretty much what you're saying there is then, if Dan says, or if Pete says no, and they get rid of Parv next,
but just hear me out. Just hear me out. Yes, right.
But just hear me out. If he says no and they get rid of Parv next, you think that the next thing would be Phaedra can recruit and the person doesn't have the choice but to say yes, correct?
I think, yeah. I mean, you have to give her another traitor at that point. If it goes Dan, Parv, back to back, and there's no added traitors, and especially you need someone in that room to like have a sounding board for you. You need to discuss who you're going to murder. It's not really interesting to watch. It's just a lone wolf. I mean, obviously we get confessionals, but you know, maybe if it's like the last episode, you could go one episode with one traitor left, and it's like the big question is, are they going to survive? Are they going to be outed? But how many episodes? There's 10, and this was episode 6.
I think there might be
13, 12 or 13. So I mean, we're not that close to the end of the show, so you need to have multiple traitors.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Peter has to take it. I don't mean take it for like show purposes or that they're going to produce him into taking it. It's he pretty much said as much, like, if I don't accept this, then the traitors are going to murder me with the first chance they get. Like, if you get recruited and you say no, it's like, all right, well, let's kill that guy. Because he clearly, like,
however, if you get recruited and say no, you get to banish before you have a chance to get murdered again. So you can then go
right,
and say,
but even if you murder Parv, Phaedra probably is just going to be like, all right, Peter, like you're done here.
But it's so interesting because I do think that if you murder Parv and it's just Phaedra
but
left.
He also doesn't know that. He doesn't know. He's like, the decision has to be right now. Like he has to make this decision live in the middle of the night, which I don't remember if they did that last time with the recruitment.
Ari did. Yep.
Don't
misremember season one. Otherwise I'm going to have to hear about it in the chat all day. So come on.
Yeah. Who won season one? It was Richard Hatch.
Yeah.
Is that we'll right? That. He was the ultimate traitor.
You didn't remember Kate. And I thought everybody in our comments section was going to have an aneurysm. So
whatever. I don't remember Kate. I watched the show over a year ago, binged it at 1.5 speed, not knowing I would ever have to talk about our podcast about it. And like, I really only focused on players that I knew from other shows, and I don't watch Below Deck. So sorry. They all sound and look the same to me from the Bravo shows. I'm sorry. So you're saying Peter says no, then they get a banishment, get Parv out.
And I think Phaedra will recruit. She won't murder. I think she will actually recruit in that scenario, not murder. So Pete could kind of save himself for 2 weeks there.
Yes, but I don't think Peter has all this information. He doesn't know that if he says no, the traitors are shit out of luck. I don't think that's being told.
That's true.
I think he's probably like, oh, they're going to they're going to recruit someone and murder someone. First, they're going to recruit. Maybe I can go help them murder someone. If I say no, they're just going to murder me like that night. Like he doesn't know that he's, and that's probably wise by production not to tell him like all those rules, and that this, they have one shot to recruit. And if they say no, that's it. You don't get another chance, or you don't get to even murder someone. Because he's going to take it. If you're playing that game, you want to be a traitor. Like, traitor is the more fun role. And you get to split the money, ideally, with fewer people. Like, if you're really leading the traitors or the faithful's charge, and it's like, oh, I got 8 people, we all think we got all the traitors, it's like, is that even good? Because then you split the money 8 ways.
Like, exactly.
Like, who wants that? Then
we're at $95,000 right now. Congrats. Yeah. Like 10 grand each.
So what you do is you get all the 8 faithful after the traitors are eliminated, and then you just play the trust with those eight people.
Yeah, and we saw how that worked out at the end. It was absolute perfection. Hopefully that's exactly what we get, and we won't.
I still think the Trust is worth watching if people haven't checked it out. I do recommend it. I think people who like the Traitors, like, I think there's a big overlap in audiences in terms of like what you want out of a reality show and what you enjoy watching. So check it out.
If they do a season two of The Trust, it could be pretty good. They just got to fix the end.
I think it could work. Yeah, I think it could work. And they got to tweak some things. Just like we've seen with The Traitor season two. They've tweaked some things. So
they've tweaked them very well, I think, on this season. So let's talk about Dan's decision here, though. Okay, so Dan obviously knew his back was against the wall. He had to make his big move. We knew he was going to go after a traitor. Do you think he was in trouble because last week he said, well, I think Janelle's a traitor. And everybody was like, well, yeah, we all know it's Janelle. And then he was wrong. Do you think last week was his opportunity to throw out a random name and start planting those seeds so that when Janelle went home, they would have been like, well, she was a faithful. Maybe Dan was onto something and he could have taken a day or something to really build that doubt in their minds? Because the only name he threw out the entire time was Janelle when everybody was already on Janelle. And then Janelle goes home and is a faithful. So what difference did that make for his game? It made none.
He was playing. I think he was already dead. I think he was drawing dead probably like two or three episodes ago.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if he had thrown Phaedra's name out then, I mean, probably still doesn't work, but it sucks because Dan's whole strategy was like relying on not saying anything and not adding to the conversation. Which clearly either means you are a traitor, because a faithful, if you're actively playing a faithful game, you are talking to everyone about who you think it is. What are your suspicions? What are your reasonings? And if you're not doing that, then you are a traitor. Or you could say, well, hey, I don't want to toss anyone's name out and fear that I'm wrong. I'm only going to take my shot when I'm 100% going to be right and I'm not going to miss. So those are your two options, which isn't a good spot to be in. You don't want to be in either of those positions, really, where you're not saying anything and you're just, hey, I'm a traitor, or that you're saying I'm only going to say something when I'm 100% right. Because then when you do toss a name out, you have to give out a traitor's name, and that's going to be really difficult to do. It's going to, because the people you're working with, you don't really want attention on them anyway early, so you can't just like pull it out of a hat. It's like you can't pull Phaedra's name out without having put in any of the groundwork earlier in the game. Like if this was your big move that he did talk about earlier, with he's like, I want to go to the end with Parv, we're going to turn on Phaedra at some point, then you need to start whispering to people, hey,
yeah,
what about Phaedra? What about Phaedra? Like, toss some names out there, throw some suspicion or shade at people. Like, that's what you have to do. I mean, with these games, you have to always pretend that you are the faithful role. It's like in Werewolf when we would play, it's like you say, oh, I'm a villager. You're just
every
like,
time.
I'm a villager. I don't know. Like, I don't know anything. I think I heard some card shift over here. And you're like, oh, wait, I was the troublemaker. And you can kind of make up, you know, it's depending on what your role is. That game's very fun, by the way. People are into this stuff. Like, go pick up a copy of One Night Ultimate Werewolf and some of the expansion cards, because it really is a great time. But Dan just acted not enough like a faithful. That was his downfall, and I don't even think it was this week or last week. I think it was his overall mentality coming into the game.
I think if he would have started dropping those hints early on of might be Phaedra, guys, it might be Phaedra, and like not like, and just have those side conversations of, you haven't even mentioned Phaedra, CT. Why don't you think it's Phaedra? Well, because this, that, and he could be like, well, I'm starting to doubt it. And every week get a little bit stronger on that doubt. But he had said it to nobody the entire time. And then he gets to the table when he knows his back's against the wall. And now he's trying to convince them. And the argument wasn't that great. Like, the argument was she had the stray vote with Ekansu. The next day, Ekansu went home. Okay, but the Ekansu murder was a murder in plain sight. So we don't actually know who performed that murder. He had to be able to point to a moment maybe where Phaedra could have murdered Ekansu. And maybe that would have convinced people a little bit differently, because everybody knew it was a murder in plain sight that was stated by Alan. So I think if he would have went that route, that would have actually worked in his favor. But he did. It doesn't seem like he attempted to do that at all. So at this point, do you think if he would have said Parvati, that people would have voted for Parvati instead of him? Or do you think that would have been too easy of a solution?
I think it's too late. And then it's like, at that point, it's like, guys, we know you're both traitors. You're just throwing each other under the bus. Like, I'm pretty sure they have Parv pinned. At least Peter does. Really interesting by Peter to say, like, the way CT reacted versus the way Dan and Parv reacted was like, you know, distinct enough from each other where he could be like, those two players are traitors, and the way CT reacted was so authentic that I know he isn't. Like, that's pretty awesome, because I always complain with this that there's just not a lot of ways to pick up information. And that's like, he actually picked up it from in and out of it. Maybe he read the faces and got lucky and there was no information to be had. But I do think like a natural reaction like that, especially when the traders are so shocked, like Parv and Dan being so floored that Bergie walks through that door, and CT being like, yeah, I'm like sort of surprised, but like, I didn't think you, I guess they did set up. Let's actually talk about that. If you're good jumping to the front of the episode, because I thought it was really weird that how it was handled, but then maybe it does have some merits. So let's talk it through, because I started the episode and I'm like doing the recap. I'm like, yeah, play the recap. Why not? Just to get back into it. I'm excited. The traders are on. And then it's like, we get some B-roll of some fish jumping out of the river. And then it's like, last night there wasn't a murder.
I didn't like that,
and it was like, wait, Alan's just like telling us the answer. And it's like,
we weren't even told officially that they were selecting Bergie. It was
exactly
like, so it was greatly hinted at, but they never said it.
Right. They never said it. And then it was like, this is how we're learning about the results of the murder and the shield. And like, all there was no suspense. I was so confused. So I actually rewinded it. I was like, wait a second. Did I miss something that like, was this set up in some way? And he's like, no, Alan just comes out like instantly without any like foreplay or like words before. It's just like, boom, Bergie murdered, but a shield. Let's see what happens. So, I didn't really like that. I would have rather been where it's like, we're on the side of the traitors, because that's what the show mostly is, where you are playing with the audience. You're playing along with the traitors because you have all the information and the faithful don't. So you are playing on their side. But here it's like, we're going to be a step ahead of the traitors, which just feels a little off. I don't know.
I do agree with that. It feels like, too, with this show, they have really gone out of their way to create cliffhangers, but then those cliffhangers very rarely actually shock at the beginning of the next episode. And this was one instance where the cliffhanger was, who are they going to pick? Will they make the mistake? Then in the preview for this week's episode, they show everybody sitting at the round table anyway, so we know Bergie survives. And then like that whole cliffhanger just goes out the window as soon as this episode starts. And they're like, yeah. So Alan's just narrating it like it happened off screen. And none of your dramatic moments should be answered off screen. It should be answered on screen. And they decided to choose it, to do it off screen in this episode. Look, we knew it was coming, but then why not just...
Well, we knew it was coming before
walking in.
Sorry, I cut you off there. Finish that.
You could have ended last week's episode with the breakfast and started this week's episode with everybody having the reaction to the fact that nobody was murdered and Pete figured it out.
Yeah, or you can start this episode. Don't ruin it in the preview. How about that? Where it's like we're left sitting and you say, okay, it's either John or Bergie. It's 50-50. It's A or B. What are they going to do? And so that when we start this episode, then we come to breakfast and then John walks in, you're like, oh my God. Or you have Bergie walking first. That's probably what you do if you want to do it this way. You have Bergie walking first and now you're sitting there, okay, they could have still murdered Bergie. Mm-hmm. And then you hang on that. Everyone's like, oh, John's murdered. And then John comes in. That's probably the best way to do it. And then you are with the traitors in that a little bit. You don't know who they chose, but you also aren't like a step ahead of them. It feels weird to be a step ahead of the traitors. Like even when Ek and Sue came in, the whole poison thing, like we were with Parv and we were a step ahead of Dan and Phaedra for like maybe half a second. And then Parv explains, hey, it's Ek and Sue. They got to go to breakfast first. And then we see Ek and Sue come in and we're like, whoa. And we're like, wait a second. I kind of remember the long, it takes a while to act with this poison. Like it's this like delayed effect, but we're with them. This one felt odd that we were a step ahead of them. I'm trying to think if the show's ever done that before. Again, I don't remember season one that well. You just watched it. Did the show ever do that?
No, because in season one, it was very like methodical. It was breakfast, round table. It was very much going in that order, and there was not much drama surrounding the idols in that, or whatever they're called, the shields because Ari kept getting them, and Ari ended up being one of the traitors by the time he got it.
Right.
You know, so
yeah, the shields are good.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that like there, I do agree that it was weird. And I think there's a way that they could have handled it where, you know, Bergie and John could have walked in together or something at the end where you would have been like, which one's it going to be? And then they both just walk in the door. So then Dan and them are shocked at the same time that Peter and them are shocked. But I do agree with
you. Go ahead. What I did like though is that like everyone's like, oh, Bergie's murdered or John's murdered. It was Bergie who came in last, I think.
It was.
And so Peter's smiling. And then it's like everyone else is going to have this really big reaction. Like when Bergie comes in. Because everyone to everyone else, it's like, hey, we thought that that Peter and Trishel had the shield. So everyone's thinking Bergie, if he doesn't come in, then yeah. He got murdered. So like CT was genuinely shocked when he saw like, wait, no one was murdered. Like that's very surprising to me. So he just had a more authentic reaction, which that's always fun.
Yeah. 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 And I guess Pete wasn't going to have so much of an authentic reaction because he was the one who kind of set this entire thing up.
Like he knew, he said, right when I see John, I know my plan worked.
Now we'll get to some of these comments over here in a sec, but I'm going to ask you this question. I want to see what you think. You are Pete. You get recruited. Do you play this exactly the same way going into the next episode, though, and just say to everybody, let's vote Parv out now?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's just hard to do. I think it's hard to do. It's like
the target in there is so big right now, though, that why take it off of her and then make yourself look sketchy? Because people are going to know that there could be the possibility of a recruitment.
Yeah, I forget. Does Alan tell them like there's been a recruitment or no?
When there's no murder, people are going to get the hint. Because they know where the shields are this time. Everybody knows that the shield is in Shireya's possession. So it can't be that somebody played a shocking shield the way Bergie played his. Right. So because of that, they need to, if nobody is eliminated tonight, everybody's going to walk in that morning and be like, well, then somebody must have been recruited. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it could be one of those things that we don't see this coming. It's like they recruit Peter and then it's like, all right, now that you guys are back to three, choose someone to kill. Like now that we You're have to trade this year.
Because they did not? The and because they said in this one it's one or the other. They did say it was one or the other.
I know, but it could be for your reward for I don't know to celebrate your new camaraderie of creators and men.
Yeah,
you know, like I could see them because it does now. It does now make it really obvious someone's recruited you. Right, I hadn't thought about that.
It's yeah. Like,
and then if you're Peter, if you start acting completely different, then you're screwed. So you kind of have to go Parv.
It's actually very interesting because if he does start to change up his game at all, now it becomes very obvious that he was the recruit. So then the attention will turn to Peter. If he doesn't change up his game at all, everybody's just going to vote for Parv as it was. And then it's still about finding out who the other traitor or two are. So if I'm Pete, you have to play this just as cool. And Parv's going to say, what are you doing? Don't do this, blah, blah, blah. But he has to play it that way because if he changes it, he's been so confident. And the comment here from Ryan Chan is kind of felt like Pete could have not blurted his plan so publicly because his plan is so public and because he's been so cocky and confident in it, he does not have a choice but to keep playing it that way because everybody's going to look at him and say, all of a sudden, the night after a recruitment, you're acting like a totally different person.
Yeah, I do think Peter overplayed a little bit because it's like, at the breakfast, he started explaining to everybody, oh, here's my whole plan. I did this. I did that. It's like, okay, now you have a target on your back. You should have just smiled, sit there, be quiet, and then tell the people you trust, hey, it's Dan or Parv or CT. Probably not CT because I was looking at all three of them, and it's definitely Dan and Parv. And then you can, you know, rally people that way. But having said all of that, the only reason he's getting recruited to be a traitor is because he's like the leader of the faithful. So I don't know. It kind of worked out for him because I think you want it. I mean, just for fun, you just want to be a traitor.
yeah, everybody's going to, you know, everybody's going to second guess Dan tonight. I mean, Ryan 51 said Dan played that horrible. Thomas McGee, I'm shocked Dan went after Phaedra and not Parvati. Elijah says if Dan went for Parvati, he would have had leverage. I think at the end of the day, Dan is going to be second guessed like crazy for how he played this. Everybody's be like, oh my God, he wasn't, you know, after his long layoff from reality TV, he's not as good. You come into the game like this, and no matter what your personality is, you probably want to be a trader. Like, that's the whole point of this game. Dan going into this game and being a trader, he's always going to have a target on his back because people know who he is and they know the type of game he's played in the past. So when he starts acting sketchy, it becomes very easy to start pointing fingers at him. Even if he wasn't acting sketchy, it's still pretty easy to point fingers at him, especially after everybody just watched Sari walk all over everybody last season. So when I watch this, it's like, I would want to be a trader for sure. But at the same time, I've played enough of these games, and Will, you know, like we've played with all of our friends and stuff. If we played with a group of 12 people, you and I were the first two people that everybody looked at as traders every single time, the more games we played. If we were playing Werewolf or Secret Hitler, any of the Resistance, any of those games, we'd be the people that everybody would look at because we would be the most obnoxious with the talking and everything like that. So I'd want to be a trader. I don't know how good I'd be at being a trader, but I think that's kind of the problem Dan ran into because in the back of everybody's head, it was already, I got to keep my eye on him, which I don't mind then when he brings up Phaedra, because people don't have their eye on Phaedra. And he explained that very well, but he had to explain that in episode 3, not episode 6.
Yeah. I don't think if he goes for Parv there, I don't know if that does a whole lot either. Like, I don't think it's like, I don't think we're boiling down, and I already said this, but like, we can't boil this down to one mistake he made. It was a mindset and a play style that was pretty much from the get-go that he wasn't going to disguise himself well enough, that he wasn't going to toss names out there, which is tricky because you don't want to toss names out there because then it puts a target on your back. But if you don't toss anyone's name out there, then it also puts a target on your back. Like, yeah. It's a balancing act. You have to find that right way to be like, you know, throw out subtle things you notice here and there, but don't be Janelle and be like, I think it's you and yeah. you. And then boom, you got 3 votes coming your way and you're gone. So it's like, you got to, it's this spectrum. You got to find it.
Yeah. And I think if Dan goes for Parv tonight, let's think about this logically, right? For anybody who's asking this question, who's going to say we're generalists and not specialists here. If Dan goes for Parvati tonight and Parvati goes home and she reveals she's a traitor, everybody's still going to look at Dan and be like, we still think you're a traitor and we think exactly. you have to protect yourself. Phaedra does make sense from that perspective, because if Phaedra ends up going and she is a traitor and that gets revealed, somehow he convinces everybody, everybody goes, wow, Dan, you pulled that out of your butt. And they're going to trust that a little bit more.
Boy, or they're going to be like, Dan, you pulled that out of your butt out of nowhere. The only way you could have known that is if you're a traitor. So yeah,
I think he was screwed
either way. Even if he was able to get votes off of him, I don't think his target really, I don't think it really mattered. Like, yeah. He was just up against it.
Yeah. And Ryan Chan here says, Sari was really good at playing in between. She would help get the ball rolling on accusing someone, but she never initiated, but she wasn't totally passive. That's kind of what Phaedra is doing right now. Phaedra is playing a very similar game to that right now of she's managing to talk about who she's aligned with, who she likes, who she doesn't trust, but she's not putting a target on her back. At this point, Phaedra is going to have to mess up pretty bad, I think, to go home, because I don't think the Dan accusation tonight is really going to put enough of a target on her back, especially with Pete being recruited.
Yeah.
Because that means that Bergie has to put this together, or MJ, or Sheree, or even CT, who's playing more of a physical game. Kevin has to put it together. Kate has to put it together. None of them are going to put it together. And Pete's going to be able to keep them off the scent by being like, well, maybe it's this person. Maybe it's this person. I figured out, especially if they get Parv next, then Pete can use the excuse of, well, we need to figure out who it is that they're recruiting. You know, so do you see Parv continuing on though? And I mean, I'm sure that there's spoilers somewhere out there. So people will be like, if Parv ends up going far, they'll be like, you guys are idiots again there. But we're unspoiled because I don't read spoilers. What are you thinking with Parv here?
I don't know if she makes it all the way to the end and wins the game. I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately. But I could see Peter coming in and the three of them working together to push the target onto somebody else. It wouldn't be that shocking to me, because I feel like if you are Peter, Parv's kind of an easy vote to go after. And so you kind of want to keep her around. And this is assuming he's a traitor. It's like, okay, let's knock out some of the faithful through banishments and through murders. And then if the heat comes too hot on me, I'll be like, look, I was the one who spearheaded Dan. I still think Parv is a really good option. So you can keep her around, knock her out. Traitor's blood is spilled. Now we've got two traitors out. It's you and Phaedra. And then Phaedra is probably a bigger target than you are because of what Dan did tonight. And you can maybe go to the end here, be a sole traitor winner or a double traitor winner. So I think keeping Parr around actually might help him out. It's just going to be what we talked about. It's going to be, can he move the target onto someone else and take it off Parv without it being obvious that he was the recruited faithful to become a traitor? That's the question for Peter. And I think from what we've seen, he's more than capable of doing that. And it could be, you know, something happens in a challenge, something happens at the house, someone does something, and it's like, okay, let's leap at that opportunity to push the heat onto that person.
So do you think people, and maybe we won't see it on this season, but in season three, season four, I mean, this is a really successful show. This is going to get so many seasons on Peacock. They've already been, you know, they've already mentioned it's like the number one streaming show in the world. So it's like, what? Do you think, well, in the US probably, or whatever.
Maybe on Peacock. I don't think the number one streaming show could be on Peacock because I don't think enough people have Peacock.
Well, then there you go. It's the number one streaming show on Peacock, but either way, like, that's good for Peacock, so no, they're not getting rid of this show. So now, do you think though that we're going to get to a point very quickly in the traders where people are going to start playing this so meta? Because let's say right now we know Parvati is a traitor. We know Parvati is a traitor. There's no doubt Parvati is going to be one of them. If you're one of the other people in the house, are you trying to pick out the other traitors rather than Parvati and letting Parvati continue to survive? Because then if you do hit a traitor, they might have to recruit. They recruit you, and you are now playing with Parvati, who you know is an easy target that is never going to get to the end of this game and be one of the last three or four people standing. So do you think people will start to play the game that way where they say, hey, the most obvious traitor needs to stay just in case I actually do get recruited as a traitor?
Not only that, if you get recruited as a traitor, but even if you are a faithful, like, if you can figure out a way to ensure that you are not getting murdered or banished and be like, let's keep one of these traitors in, and then you're taking your shots. Like, if we were like, hey, we know Parv's a traitor, murdering or banishing her isn't going to give us any information. Okay. This is like assuming that we are 100% on board that she is, we know she's a traitor. Let's say she's so much as have said, hey guys, I'm a traitor. Now it's basically like, let's banish people who are unsure about, and just hopefully we hit, like, catch someone with a stray bullet. And then once we do that, then we go for Parv. I think it's totally valid whether you are someone who might be recruited, or if you're just playing like a straight up faithful game, that it's like, yeah, keep, it's like having a shield, not the shield in terms of immunity, but a shield in Survivor, where you want to keep people around who are going to attract votes. And then if Parvati's always kind of in the conversation at these banishment ceremonies, then if it ever comes up on you, you ever feel the heat, then you can be like, all right, let's push it on a Parv. Let's, like, yeah, everyone we know. Like, I think there is total merit to keeping a traitor in the game. Because guess what? If there's one traitor or three traitors or two traitors or four traitors or whatever, they still get to murder one person. It's not like taking out, it's not like in Survivor where you're like, oh, I need to take someone out on the opposing alliance because now there's one fewer votes and that's going to help our numbers moving forward. It's like, no, they get one vote no matter what. They get a kill. So it doesn't really have influence in that regard.
No, you're right. You're right. So we'll see what ends up happening when they move forward that easy CZ down here. Pretty sure they showed Trishelle, I think it was her, suggesting that Phaedra was a traitor after the vote, given that Dan had no reason to make it up. I don't think Phaedra is that under the radar.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what you've been saying. Yeah. Where, yeah, I don't remember if it was exactly Trishelle or not, but any of Trishelle, those people who are in that little circle, when Parvati walked into the room and she said, oh, look, you guys closed the doors, this is super sketchy. Anybody in that room who thinks that it's Phaedra will have enough pull to convince other people it's Phaedra. I think that alliance of four or five is
What is that alliance? Can we go over? I believe it is CT, Trishelle, Kevin, Boogie, and Peter, right? I think that's the
Boogie. Five.
Boogie, sorry.
My goodness, poor guy. It's bad enough he gets called Boogie. Now he's Boogie.
I mean, Boogie's kind of a cool name, like Boogie Cousins.
Booger McFarland.
Yeah, that booger is worse than Boogie. Actually, I don't know.
I don't know. Boogie's pretty bad. Boogie's like your booger's younger brother.
But
I don't know exactly what it was because they did such a quick shot of that. And I do feel like whenever they talk about, oh, there's this alliance, they're not actually showing us the real alliance. All I know for sure is it's Bergy and it's Pete, and they're very confident. I don't know if CT is totally in there yet because CT's name was like coming up.
Sandra, I've seen like walking in and out of those like supposedly five.
She's in with the Bravo women too, though. She's in with the Housewives more than anything, it feels like. Yeah, I don't know what MJ and Sheree are doing because they're not getting any screen time.
Yeah.
They can't compete with the big dogs here. Yeah. Paul over here says, Parv under the gun and Phaedra is two now. Peter could actually be the last trader standing. Crazy turn of events. Or Peter could change his game and be the first person out of those three traders, which would be crazy. But imagine, okay, let's go this route. Let's really start to be a little hypothetical here because, you know, next week we're going to see something different. And just in case this happens, I want to be able to say that we started talking about it. Let's say Pete says yes. Pete is now there. Parvati goes home next week. Who do you think Pete would want to recruit onto his side? Because I feel like Phaedra is very much playing the game of you make the choice.
Do you think they would get a recruit at that point? I don't think they would.
I know I've been big on the side of no, but then the more I think about it, I'm like, maybe. Like at this point.
Well, no, but see, that's what's so good point. That's so tough because you can't.
Let me compliment
you. Can't like say the recruitment's fair or unfair based on the season and how well the traders are playing. It's either like this is where you get a recruit from the start or not. I feel like you get one opportunity to recruit and that's it.
Yeah. But I was going to say, I didn't really think about it and I was going to compliment you, but you just had to get your piece in there. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about it as it's really no choice because by recruiting, you are killing. You are removing somebody from the faithful pool.
That's what I, yeah.
So I really like that point. And when I
made that point like, in the first five minutes of the podcast, you're just catching on to that 30 minutes.
No, but that's to prove what I'm about to say, which is I think that the traders, that the production team is like, well, they're going to kill a faithful anyway. We might as well just have them kill a faithful and get somebody on their team because then we ensure that the show keeps going on, especially if we get into a scenario where it's very obvious who the traders are. We're at final 12 right now. You figure a banishment and then a murder would get us down. A banishment, let's say a trader gets banished. Now we're down to final 11. It could be 8-3. I think once you get down two or three more, they're not going to let you recruit anymore because it gets too easy for the traders once you get down to final 7, final 6. So maybe they would just keep letting them replenish the pool every time.
Yeah, I don't know. And I wonder what the rules are, like legally. Like there's a lot of money on the line. You can't just be like, well, we're just going to let the traders recruit when we feel like it. Maybe you can, as long as everyone understands that like this is kind of the weird thing with this game.
People are getting fees to be on the show as it is. So like,
right.
While there is a prize pool, some of these players are getting paid more than others to just be on the traders, which is definitely probably not going to be as big of a deal now if they don't split their fair share of $200,000 between eight people.
Yeah, and I don't think they'd ever let it be like, all right, the eight faithful, you've won. Show's over. Like, I don't think we're getting.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
I don't think we'll ever get there. But yeah, I mean, or at that point, they'd be like, all right, congratulations. You've eliminated them all. Two of you are becoming traders tonight, or there, at least one of you. And then you like restart it and at least give them, like, let them have that information. You've earned that. And then now you've reset. Now it can be anybody. Maybe that's what they would do.
Yeah, because the bad thing about this gameplay or game style, whatever you want to call it, the structure, that's the word, is that they're never going to let it get to zero too early. So you have to always assume there's multiple. So even if your first seven boots, you get traders every time. You're not actually doing all that much. You're just preventing yourself from being murdered. Because really, it seems like what happens, it's almost like the reward for the faithful for getting a traitor is that night, none of them will then be murdered. That seems like what the reward is. So by getting a traitor,
but it's not a reward. Yeah, I guess.
You can't get murdered. Because you could get murdered. Like, let's say you were like, it's Dan. Dan goes home. And then they turn around and they vote you out. You can't get voted out now because they have to recruit to keep the numbers up, or at least that's what they're most of the time going to do. So that is kind of the reward for the faithful for getting a trader, is that nobody's going to go home. You might change up the numbers. Nobody's going to go.
I get it. Yeah. And I guess I've said this before too. It's like, I think what's good with the recruitment is that at least if it's announced to people, or if that the faithful are aware it happened, then now I have information I can use. Like, I can be like, this is how you were acting before. This is how you're acting now. And it's like tangible stuff that we can actually look at and like play the game with, which there's not enough of that. And so that's why I was a big fan of this Peter Trapp, because he was able to, like, even though it was reading someone's face, which is very subjective, it seems like he was able to get like very, very solid information from that. So that does happen with recruiting. I don't know. I wish the recruiting was more like they knew about it ahead of time, because then if I'm a trader, I kind of want to play a game where it's like, I want to get recruited. Maybe it's like, I wish I could sit here on this podcast and be like, wow, Peter's playing a great faithful game, because he knows once that recruitment's happening, they're going to pull him because he's the least likely. No one would expect him. But it's like, not really. That just kind of all happened. That kind of just falls together, because we don't know when a trader's going home. We don't know when they're going to recruit. He thought he was going home. He probably played this really badly, actually, by like being a little bit too open and braggy and explaining his whole trap to everyone. So I wish there was something, I don't know. And it's not bad. I just thinking from like a strategic standpoint, there's not a whole lot to grab onto if you are a faithful. And I think that's okay. Like, this is a fun murder mystery game. It doesn't all need to be like super serious strategy all the time. And like, are you playing well? Are you playing badly? I think it's fun. They get together. We have some people, especially if they keep getting people from other shows. It's working.
Yeah. Ryan Chan, if Pete accepts being a trader, which we think he will, I'm curious who he will convince is a trader. He's publicly said a bunch of people, Kevin, CT, John, Trishel, etc., are not traders. So he's been in a bit of a pickle there, because he has really opened up who he doesn't think a trader is. Now, if he suddenly turns around and starts saying, I think John's a trader, everybody's going to be like, what? John, the guy who we cheered and hugged because he launched the golden ball?
Right. That is true. But what we've been saying, too, is if he does accept this, that there will not be a murder, everyone will be like, oh, a recruitment. And then Peter can then use that to his advantage and say, look, true, this person's been acting a little fishy ever since this recruitment. Like, John, man, you are a new person since this recruitment. I think we got to go after John. I don't know. He seems weird. But then it's like, you kill him and he's faithful, and then then what do you say? I don't know.
Yeah. No, I guess that's a good point. When they're recruiting now, you're going to have people that are now going to be new traders. So you can start to point at these people that you were saying, no, they're in the clear, and start to think that they are. But Parvati is just so obvious at this point. It's just going to be hard to get that off.
Yeah. I think there are merits for Peter in like keeping her around as like this shield for him that's going to take all the heat and all the votes. But for her to make it to the end of the game and actually be a winner, I don't think that's going to happen.
It's very heroes versus villains edit going on for Parv right now.
I mean, Sandra's going to get recruited.
Sandra's going to win. Maybe she'll get recruited. Maybe she'll just win.
We're not seeing a ton of Sandra, but I get it. Like, I get why.
I mean, we never see a ton of Sandra unless she's in a power position, and she's not in a power position. We didn't see much of her on Pearl Islands or Heroes versus Villains either. And so, you know, until in Pearl Islands, when she started to really come to the top and be the alpha there. So yeah, I think that totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She has a very strong personality. Obviously, that's why she's a reality TV star, but she doesn't have the type of strong personality that translates to these types of games right off the bat. I was starting to think, I don't know if you saw on the internet today, Parvati released like a photo shoot with Natalie Bolton for Paper or something like that.
Did not see this at all.
You should look it up. I was starting to think that this dropped because today was going to be her day of going home on the traders. That's what I started to get concerned with. I was like, damn, they dropped this as like the, don't forget guys, Parvati still looks really, really good in a bikini. Yeah, it's her and Natalie Bolton. They're in like a shower together.
Why are Natalie Bolton? What is Natalie Bolton still like? I feel like she's not in really the reality TV scene. I mean, she's never come back to play Survivor again. I know she's on our second chance.
She's living her dream from season 16. Finally.
I'm trying to find this, and I'm not seeing anything.
So it was all over Twitter.
Hmm.
Paper Magazine.
Oh, Paper Magazine. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what Natalie has. It's like they're talking about the traders. It's an interview. But
yeah, and then down at the bottom, Natalie is in the pictures.
Random. Very. I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway, just thought that would have been funny timing if Parvati would have ended up going home tonight. I don't know. Maybe that's a good plug. Go vote for Natalie Bolton in our pre-40 women podcast that we did with Russell Muscle TV.
I've also never heard of Paper.
Me either. And then I was looking at it. I'm like, what kind of magazine am I looking at right now? Like, I don't know what kind of magazine I'm recommending people listening to this podcast to look at. But those pictures were all over the Twitter sphere today. That's for sure. People were going wild over them. So here we are. You have anything else you want to say about this episode? Or are we good?
I guess one, we didn't really talk about the challenge at all. I have a hunch, and I've kind of had this hunch a little bit. I know we kind of danced around it, but do we even think there's time limits for these challenges?
No, I don't. I honestly,
I don't think, cause I know it's like, oh, the first episode with the big puzzle in the water. It's like, yeah, they fake the countdown. And that's one thing. It's one thing to fake it in post-production and you're trying to make this suspenseful moment for the viewers. But when you're actually out there, it's like, hey, are you giving them 40 minutes? Are you giving them an hour? Like there's no world in which we don't see this catapult launch. Like, you're not going to build that huge catapult and like have it be this catapult you can actually take apart and put together. Like, that's pretty serious design and like testing and safety to make sure that all works and the distance is locked in. You're counting for wind, maybe. Like,
and they had all, to build it.
That's what I mean. They had to build it themselves. And it's like, you're going to do all that. It's like, oh man, this group is a little slow moving up the hill and they're tired. So they didn't get there in time. And like that packet of putting it together looked like it was like, it's like a Lego manual. It looked like it was like, you know, 20 pages thick, double-sided. Mm-hmm. Like Bergie was like rolling through them. Like, but they got there with 5 minutes. You're going to see every page of that in 5 minutes. So I think they're just like, do the challenge. And if you guys are taking too long, we're going to dock you money. So like, you guys go quickly. Like, they act a little bit. Like, I just don't believe there's a timer. I really don't. I'd love to interview one of the, maybe we'll get somebody to interview. Maybe we'll get even Bananas. He's on the first challenge. He can maybe tell us.
Yeah. Somebody call Bananas. Will, call Bananas. I can't call him. You call him.
Maybe somebody. Maybe a Survivor player. Maybe get Parv.
Yeah. Parv might be too big. She just did Paper Magazine.
Yeah, Paper Magazine, man. She's Paper Magazine's Person of the Year.
Yeah, somebody reach out to Sandra for us. That's what we need. Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's going to do it for this episode. Will and I are going to be doing the Film Will show immediately after this.
Right after this. If you're, you know, want to hang out with us, keep chatting. We're gonna talk over some playoff football on the Film Will show.
Yeah. So go ahead, tune into that. That'll be on right after this. On Monday night, we will be doing our New Era Tribe reveal with Russell Muscle TV. We have the five men and the five women who were selected by the fans. It's already been done. We stopped the voting last Tuesday at noon. So Russell's been putting that video together. He'll release his video. I think he said it was going to be Saturday night. It might be Sunday night. I forget exactly. I think it was Sunday at 8 is what he said.
Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, keep an eye out for that video on Russell's channel. And in addition to that, John and I have been doing our movie podcast. We actually did Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse last week and Eternals, which was a piece of shit, but at least Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse was good. So you can go check that episode out too.
And we need more votes for the New Era or the old school men and the old school women. That tribe is still up for grabs on who is going to grab those spots for a second chance Brand Steel season. So
yeah,
go and vote.
And it's February 1st, so that means Survivor is starting this month now. If February 28th is the premiere date. So hopefully we get a cast announcement soon, and Will and I will be jumping in to do our cast assessment and then all of our normal preseason stuff. And so that'll be exciting. Looking forward to that. And become a patron. Patreon.com/thespecialist. We talked about it on a couple of our episodes. We did 30 episodes for our top tier patrons in the month of January. February is actually going to have more because we have so many different things going on. So if you're a movie fan, if you're a Survivor fan, if you want to talk old school Survivor, we have our Survivor Rock Draw. We have our Q&As. anything you want to do. We have a whole bunch of episodes for the $5, $10, and $20 tiers. And everybody gets to be in the Discord where you can chat about anything you want. And the Discord is coming to life, especially now that there's more sports conversation, movie conversation. And now that Survivor is coming back, people are starting to talk a little bit more in there. So that's fun. So consider that patreon.com/thespecialist. Thank you all so much for listening. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you next time. If you're a film or show fan, it's up next.